mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 23. Let me get this straight. Toph gave herself a little shake to get rid of the dust from her mishap with moving Earth and two smarty pants boys sneaking up on her with a flying bison. Totally not fair. Aang had a spooky spirit vision that Katara's in trouble, so we're going to run right into Ba Sing Se after her? She cracked her knuckles. Aang, you get Appa down right now! Hey! Sokka protested. Zuko's got my... I heard it the first time, Snoozles. I just don't believe it, Toph thought. There's got to be a good reason. I need to talk to you guys, and I'm not doing it where I can't see you. But Katara's in trouble, Aang protested. Hate to burst your bubble, Twinkle Toes, but you got that vision when exactly? If she's in trouble, she's been there a while. A few more minutes? Probably not going to make a difference. Toph pointed towards Sokka. More or less. But it could make a heck of a lot of difference to us. You don't just jump into the ring in a rumble. You take a minute, you plan, and then you bust some heads. She's got a point, Sokka admitted reluctantly. Appa could probably use a break anyway. We've been flying all night. But it's Katara, Aang objected. And I know my sister, Sokka said practically. She'd hate it if we got hurt just because we didn't take a minute to put together a good plan. And this is Zuko. He may not have been up to beating all of us, even before Toph joined up, but you know he's not going to make this easy. And if he's working with Azula... Sokka let the words trail off, probably shaking his head. If she could only see... This is why I need you guys to land, Toph said, exasperated. Where'd you get this crazy idea that Zuko's working with Azula? Well, Aang started. On the ground, Twinkle Toes. Grumbling under his breath, Aang set them down. Land, Toph thought gratefully, wiggling bare toes and grassy herbs. Stepping carefully to avoid a patch of thorny bramble. She might not be able to see the thorns, but they grabbed into the earth with a pattern of fine roots she'd been able to recognize for years. Okay, how do you get Azula out of seeing Zuko hit Katara? Because after he hit her, he touched her head and she just fell over, Aang said impatiently. Just like Ty Lee. Toph felt Sokka's heart jump. He hit her in the head? Sokka said. You didn't say that before. Head, chest, what does it matter? Aang grumbled. Then I guess Zuko knows something Ty Lee doesn't? Sokka frowned. When she hit me in the head, all she got was bent fingers. Or he doesn't know anything about what Ty Lee does. Toph put in. Careful, Toph, she cautioned herself. You tell them the straight truth and they'll listen about as much as they did to Zuko's note. So, bend it a little. Look, I didn't want to mention this because I didn't want you guys to get upset. My parents, they're merchants. Really, really powerful merchants. Which means they deal with trade all over the world. She paused. Even the Fire Nation. What? Sokka yelped, hand fishing for Boomerang with the speed of pure reflex. Sokka, calm down. Aang held out empty hands, warding off the anger. That's the way things used to be. The nations are separate, but people visit each other. I used to visit Boomy all the time. Even the monks brought fruit we picked at the temple to the Earth Kingdom to trade for rice noodles, and things that didn't grow that good on a mountain. Yeah, but now? I'm not saying it's a good thing, Toph said bluntly. I'm just saying they do, so I know some stuff about the Fire Nation. some of which I just got from Zuko, but keep going. Tylee's a chi blocker. That means she's not supposed to be outside the Fire Nation while there's a war on. Sokka snorted. Yeah, well, looks like Azula didn't get that messenger honk. Zuko's been exiled 3 years. Silence. Toph felt the two boys look at each other. You already told us that, Aang said, puzzled. But we didn't think about it, Sokka admitted, unhappy. You're saying Zuko can't know what Tylee does, or they'd never have kicked him out. They probably would have stuck him in prison or marooned him on some island even the sea vultures wouldn't land on. Toph nodded. He sure wouldn't be running around loose. Tylee could have taught him, Aang pointed out. I can learn other bending styles. He could... Sokka? The Water Tribe boy was shaking his head. Told you, Tylee hits you in the head. All she does is hurt her hand. He eyed Toph. But you didn't think Zuko was working with Azula even before that. Why? She's his sister. She wants to be the heir, Toph said bluntly. Yeah, we get that. No, you don't, Toph bit out. This isn't want to, like, I want the last berry cake. This is cut off my own hand to get this. Ew. Sokka shuddered. I don't get it, Aang said after a moment, patting Appa's side for comfort. Why does it matter so much? The monk said your body was the house of your spirit, and you should always honor that. Why would you hurt yourself just for a title? Were the temple elders just a title? Toph shot back. They were going to take you away from Gyatso. That's why Katara said you ran away. And I don't blame you one bit. Anyone who tried to take me away from you guys, I'd squash them. She slapped her palm with a fist. But they thought they could do it because they were the elders. It's not the title Crazy Blue Fire wants, Aang. It's the power. Some people, they're just like that. They're scary to be in the ring with. They don't just fight a good fight and learn from it. They do anything to win. Even cozying up to you for months so they can jump you when you finally turn your back. Toph puffed out a loose strand of hair out of her face. The Fire Lord's heir has a lot of power. Azula wants it. She's not going to help Zuko. Ever. So Zuko just wants to catch me for the power. Aang's shoulders slumped. No, he doesn't. Toph shook her head. Uh-oh. I mean, I don't think so. The scary people, the ones who will put a boulder in your back, they don't care about people. Zuko cares about Uncle a lot. You're not making sense, Aang groaned. If Zuko doesn't want to be heir, why doesn't he just quit chasing us? First off, he's got orders, Toph said practically. Nobody in the Fire Nation disobeys the Fire Lord. And reason number two, if he quits, Azula is the heir. You think she scares us? You have no clue how much she scares Zuko. She shrugged. Sokka, I know this is going to be creepy, but just for a minute, try to pretend you're Zuko. That is creepy. Sokka shuddered again. Grr, arg, honor? Just shut up and listen, Toph scowled. Think of it like the Fire Nation was your village. You'd be chief if your father died, right? Well, yeah, maybe someday. Not soon. So, think of your village, Toph forged on. Only instead of Katara for your sister, you've got Azula. And if you don't pull off something impossible, Azula's going to be ruling your village. How do you feel about it? Not, she waved her hands before he could talk. Not what you do, how do you feel? There was a long, uneasy silence. Scared, Sokka whispered at last. I'd be really scared. Zuko's scared, Toph said quietly. He's scared all the time. You guys think he's an angry jerk? He is. But he's angry because he's scared for his people. His people, Sokka. Just like you were scared for the Water Tribe. And you know what? I don't blame him. She pointed towards Aang. I'm on your side, Twinkle Toes. I want the war over, and I want the balance back. But I don't care that you are the Avatar. You're my friend. I'm going to be there for you all the way. But you know, Zuko, if he hit Katara when you weren't even there to catch, does that sound like one of his plans? Or does it sound like maybe we need to find something out before we crash the palace? She crossed her arms. Because if you want to listen before you move, I think I know where we can go to start asking. Wait a minute, Sokka said thoughtfully. How do you know that? We just figured out it probably wasn't Ty Lee. My parents saw a lot of healers. Toph waved a hand in front of blind eyes. They know how to put people out, too. You think Zuko's been training with a healer? Aang said at last. He wants to believe it, Toph realized, surprised. He wants to believe Zuko would do something that's not evil. I think whatever he's up to, Zuko's not stupid. What if Azula caught them again when Katara wasn't there? He almost lost Uncle. He's not gonna do that again. She angled a blind glance Sokka's way. And in Ba Sing Se, anybody who heals is going to have a license. On record, where people can look it up. People, huh? Sokka smirked. I guess that leaves it up to us. Toph grinned. Not exactly. Shift can't be over soon enough, Huojin thought. He wet his brush in ink to mark a few last neat formal characters, finishing a report that explained exactly why someone had thought balancing on top of a light post was a good idea, and the resulting injuries and arrests. One set of bruised ribs, someone else's busted arm, and a warehouse crew hopefully now sobering up in the general disorderly cell. I need to get home. He wasn't quite sure what he'd do at home, given what he'd heard. But with the feeling out on the streets, he wanted to hold his family and not let go for a while. We need to figure out what we're gonna do. He and Luli had discussed it, hashed what they knew of the general's plan over and over again, and decided, well, that they couldn't decide yet. Huojin knew what he wanted to do. Whether or not it was the right thing for his family, he didn't know. He just didn't. Loyalty isn't easy, Mei Xiang had told him. It can break your heart. She'd sat him down for a good talking to, not long after that hair-raising potluck. Filled him in on a few things he would have grown up knowing if he'd grown up somewhere else. It was a heck of an eye-opener. Lee is a great name and a firebender, Mei Xiang had said, after a few minutes circling around the point. And he's 16. That's about the right age, in human terms, for a young dragon to strike out for his own territory. Or so my grandfather said. A young what? Huojin had exclaimed in disbelief. Bad enough he had spirits on his beat. Dragons? All children of fire are children of dragons, Mei Xiang answered simply. Where did you think the gold eyes came from? No other nation has them, ever. You're serious, he said, after a long moment of shock. You really think that some of your ancestors were... He flapped his hands. Large, predatory, wise creatures, with fire breath and far too many teeth. For once, Mei Xiang looked almost as impish as Luli. Tell me it doesn't explain Lee. Nothing explains Lee, Huojin said frankly. So he's got a temper that should have gone to a Dillo lion. What's that got to do with me? Dragons live in clans, just as we do. And those of lesser power seek those that are greater. They help defend the clan's territory, so all of them can hold more than just a strong dragon alone. And in return, the leader helps protect them. She'd given him a sober look. That's part of us, just as much as the eyes and the temper. You're a dragon's kin, and though you're not alone, you're not in the safety of a clan. And Heerly is, a strong firebender, who's already bled for your children. She'd spread her hands. Your loyalty is your choice. But I thought someone should warn you that you will want to follow Lee, whether or not it's wise. And if that didn't send chills down a sane man's spine, nothing would. Which was why he was talking everything over with Luli. She might look like pure bounce and happiness, but his wife had a patient ability to poke at things from every angle, trained by long years coaxing beauty out of solid rock. If she thought Mushi's plan was a good idea... I want to go. I really, really do. It's wild and crazy and risky, and they're going to need some guards to keep people behaving long enough to start working together. We're all in this together has a nasty tendency to go south the first time somebody swipes a bigger piece of fruit tart than the next guy. It'd be a challenge. One heck of a challenge. And damned if that didn't hook him just as much as that odd pull to follow Lee. And he told Luli that. All of it. Laid it out as blunt as he could. That something in him had about as much common sense as one of the cackling idiots rumor said surfed the mail chutes of Amashu, and she couldn't trust it one inch. Luli had looked at him a long moment, then smiled and kissed him, and that was way too distracting to be thinking about in this station, even if he was almost off duty. Something thumped in the street outside. Big, heavy enough to shake the building. Mad earthbender? Huojin wondered, as the whole station broke off whatever they were doing to grab for weapons and whistles filled with pepper sand, just in case. There was a massive animal groan outside. Oh no. Huojin capped his ink and glanced furtively over the rest of his fellow guards, all just going off shift or coming on. Maybe I can sneak out the roof. Nobody will. Huojin? Busted. Yes, Captain? Huojin said politely, trying to look alert and attentive and not trying to sneak out early at all, honest. Like a scowling mountain, Captain An Lushan walked towards Huojin's desk from the front of the room, a trio of two familiar kids trailing in his wake. You brought him in the first time. Handle this. And maybe there was a hint of apology under salt and pepper brows. Everybody in the station knew what a narrow shave Luli and the kids had had. But somebody had to do it. Huojin looked at blue and yellow and orange and stifled a deep sigh. Yes, sir. And then Green pushed her way through, held out a hand, grinning. Hey. Good morning, Miss Toph. Huojin smiled and shook it, suddenly feeling a little better about this mess. I see your friends caught up to you. He let go and looked into eyes of worried, angry blue and gray. How would you like to take this up onto the roof? It's quieter up there. With a lot less witnesses. Good idea, Sokka said thoughtfully. Appa gets kind of worried if we're gone too long. If I'd been caught by the Dai Li, Huojin thought, leading them upstairs, past curious eyes. Worried wouldn't even begin to cover it. You stalled us. Given those were Sokka's first words out on the roof, Hojin revised his opinion on how things were going to go right back down. "Damn right I did," he said bluntly, trying not to eye the 10-ton furry beast, craning his head to look at them with a waffle that blew Hojin's queue of hair back. "You want to know why?" "Actually, yeah," Sokka admitted, waving Aang silent when the airbender looked like he wanted to explode. "We're Team Avatar. We can handle whole Fire Navy fleets coming after us. And you're just a regular guy." "Team Avatar?" Hojin thought incredulously. "I take it back. This is why Lee's so snarly. Maybe I'm just one guy, but I like to think I'm a good friend. Lee was risking his life to give Toph a hand. Least I could do was make sure a bunch of kids didn't smash his plans to little pieces." "It worked, too," Toph grinned. "Kids?" Aang and Sokka yelped as one. "I'm a warrior," Sokka protested, voice almost cracking. "Maybe you are," Hojin said. "But your sister and the Avatar?" He shook his head. "Aang, I've got a daughter your age. What kind of father would I be if I let a 12-year-old boy run smack into the Dai Li?" Aang was staring at him like he'd turned purple and started spouting bad poetry. "But I'm the Avatar." "Right. From what people tell me, you're the bridge between our world and the spirits," Hojin nodded. "So you're a really, really, really powerful bender." "Got it. But you're 12. I don't know who you've been dealing with. No, actually, I know about some of the people you've been dealing with. I've heard a lot about the Council of Five. Not much of it good. But any sane, responsible parent, they wouldn't be asking you to save the world. They'd be figuring out ways to hide you so you get a chance to grow up." He shrugged. "I hate the war, but we've been fighting it for almost a century. We can keep fighting it another few years if that means we can finally stop it." "But I have to defeat the Fire Lord before the end of this summer," Aang said in a small voice. "Roku said Sozin's comet is coming." "He did not just say what I think he did." "What?" Hojin croaked. "It's this huge thing up in the sky," Sokka started. "I know what it is," Hojin managed. "Though I haven't heard anything about it in decades. Oh, Agni." "You're sure?" "As sure as spirit messages from dead avatars get," Sokka said practically. "You know what it is? We'd never heard of it." "I had a weird childhood," Hojin said wryly. Dug into memory for things a child of 6 had barely understood. "Oh, this is not good." "Not good how?" Toph pounced. "You know what a waterbender can do on a full moon?" Hojin said bluntly. "Imagine a firebender, 100 times stronger." The kids blanched. "Yeah, I'd kind of like to faint too." "I knew you were in trouble," Hojin said honestly, looking directly at Aang. "I had no idea it was this bad. Is there anybody you can trust to help?" He glanced at Sokka. "I'm not talking about the generals. They keep Bossing Say safe, sure, but they think about the city, not about the world. Armies and weapons and tactics, not people. Are there any grown-ups you know who would listen and help? Help, not tell you what to do. Because, well, I'm just a guard, what do I know about fighting a war? But I work the Ghost Watch. Kamui, I know. So I've got a funny feeling that saving the world isn't just stopping the war." He shrugged and looked back at Aang. "If you were the Avatar, if you were really the guy who's supposed to bring balance back to the world, who do you trust to help you do it?" Aang swallowed. "I don't know." "My dad," Sokka said firmly. "He's a good guy. I wasn't there long enough to hear the whole story, but Bato said something about the Fire Nation ship that didn't try to take prisoners. Uh-oh, Wojin winced. They just threw out life rafts and kept going, Sokka finished. So, if Toph's right, and we need to stop everybody fighting, I think my dad would listen. If I'm right, Toph rolled her eyes. Hey, even the Earth Rumble champion can miss something. Wait a minute, Sokka shot Huojin a suspicious glance. You're stalling us again. What? Since when? Huojin said, startled, and more than a little aggravated. You're not just here about the bison? No, we're here about my sister. What about Katara? Will not strangle teenager for mangled priorities, Huojin thought wryly. Oma and Shu know. I pulled some boneheaded stunts when I was 15. She's in trouble, Aang insisted, as if he had doubted the boy. The Fire Nation has her. In the middle of Ba Sing Se? Huojin said, startled, held up a hand before the protests could break out. We'll tell the captain. He can get word to the army. We'll get people moving. Where? How? What do you know? I saw it in a vision, Aang admitted. For a moment, Huojin just had to stare. Oh, the captain's going to love this one, he groaned. Look, Aang saw what he saw, Sokka said angrily. I never said he didn't, Huojin shot back. I'm just saying it sounds crazy. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen some really weird stuff over the years. He shook himself. Okay, vision. Any details? Names? Places? Anything that can mark it in one of the rings? At the wall? Ba Sing Se is a big place. It's Zuko, Sokka said practically. She could be anywhere by now. Just look for the angry jerk with the big scar. He gestured towards his left eye.
Nah, coincidence.
Hate to break it to you, but between the refugees and the veterans, there's a lot of people with scars, Huojin pointed out. Though most of them know they'd better stick to the lower ring, and Amaya said the Avatar's people were up in the upper ring. Any other ways to pick them out? Young, old, what? Who is this guy? I didn't think anybody from the Fire Nation could sneak into Ba Sing Se. Not without Amaya's contacts knowing about it anyway. You don't know Prince Ponytail, Sokka snorted. He got into the middle of the North Pole once.
Oh, no way.
Because it really couldn't be. Lots of Fire Nation soldiers had attacked, right? And he knew Lee. Scarred and a great name, sure. Prince? The kid wasn't nearly arrogant enough for that.
Sounds serious, Huojin nodded. You've met this guy before? How many troops is he going to have with him? Both boys looked taken aback at the thought. As well they should. If one Fire Nation infiltrator could make it inside, odds were there were more.
Probably just Uncle, Toph said candidly. They're fugitives. Something about General Iroh wrecking the whole North Pole invasion by trying to save the moon spirit. For a moment, nothing in Huojin's brain seemed to work.
Fugitives. Moon. Invasion fleet.
Irk. No help for it. Next time he got a hold of Lee, he had to strangle the kid. Just a little.
As if you could,
the more practical side of him snarked. Huojin told it to shut up and took a deep breath.
You think the Dragon of the West is in Ba Sing Se?
Well, he did say he was retired.
If Zuko's here, Iroh's around somewhere, Sokka said practically. But he's got a trick we've never seen from a firebender. So, Toph said you keep records of healers?
A healing firebender. Oh, Agni. They know what they're looking for.
Or we could just talk to Amaya, Aang put in.
She seemed to know something about the Fire Nation. Huojin knows Lee's Fire Nation, Twinkle Toes. Toph interrupted. Sokka whipped his head around. You said nobody could sneak in! He didn't sneak, Huojin shrugged. He came in on a ferry a month or so back, just like all the other refugees. Amaya took him on, and he's been working with her since. Quiet kid. No trouble. Except for wrecking tea shops, freezing noble kids, and breaking into Dai Li headquarters. Laughing hysterically is not going to help. But they're both gone. You'll have to try someone else. He gave the kids a sober look, hating what he was about to say would do to boys as inexperienced as these, in what people did to stay in power. They're gone, and so are the Wens. What? Aang gasped. Luli and my daughters got out in time, Huojin said, trying not to let the banked anger seep into his voice. It wasn't easy. These were kids, just kids. But damn it, hadn't they seen what happened in Ba Sing Se? If they hadn't, I think I'd really hate you right now. He made himself shrug. That's the way it is. Cross Long Feng, and you'd better hope you can dig a hole and pull it in after you. But the Earth Kingdom had Long Feng arrested. Sokka protested. Yeah? Huojin raised a brow. By who? From the uneasy looks he already knew. Obviously, have to mince it up into little words. Huojin snarled silently. Long Feng's ruled the Dai Li for 20 years. The last message Amaya got out before that notice of a spiritual pilgrimage went up on her door, he still does. He looked away from the airbender, trying not to yield to the temper that wanted to break something. You know, I know they chose to help you. Tingcha, Mei Shang, Amaya, even Li. And Li was a wreck over that mess. I know why they did it, and I know they knew what they were risking, but they're gone. They're all gone. And if the Dai Li haven't caught them, they're running for their lives. He dusted off his hands deliberately. So if you want to put a missing persons report out on Katara, we can do that. You want to report there are Fire Nation infiltrators in the city? We'll do that too. But if you want to talk to city healers to find a fugitive firebender, you can read our records down in the station in plain sight so nobody in the Dai Li thinks they wanted to talk to you. Gray eyes narrowed at him. You said you wanted to help. Exactly when did I say that, kid? Like you helped the Wens? Huojin said flatly. Mei Xiang told Luli about that when she woke my wife up and told her to get our girls out. He looked straight at Toph. She might be blind, but the girl could read people better than a lot of guards he'd met. Tingcha knows a lot of old secrets about the city, and Lee's one tough kid. But you know that already, don't you? You knew all along. I hope they're okay, but the Dai Li, no one's ever brought them down. Aang's hands gripped his air staff as he looked down, torn. Sokka frowned, eyes lifted as if seeing the outline of something blaze to life on the horizon. Hello, I think I heard somebody's brain crank into gear. Forget the healers, Sokka said abruptly. We need to head for the palace. We can't just forget about Katara, Aang exclaimed. We're not going to, the Water Tribe boy said bluntly. Remember what Toph said? Think like Zuko. He wants to capture you. He's not going to hurt her, not if she's the bait. He'll use her to get to you. And that means he's got to let us know where she is. When he springs his trap, then we trap him. Sokka nodded to himself. And the best way to do that is make sure everybody knows where you are. If we're shaking up the palace, dragging Dai Li out of the walls, we'll kill 2 sea vultures with 1 boomerang. Right, Aang brightened. And if they're still working for Long Feng, we can make him tell us where they took everybody. He dashed off the edge of the roof and floated down. Sokka smacked himself in the forehead and went for the stairs. "They're wrong," Huojin said in an undertone, before Toph could follow. "Lee's not trying to catch anyone." "But Katara knows what he looks like," Toph said, just as quiet. "And she hates him, and he knows it. If they ran into each other, she wouldn't stop until the whole city knew where he and Uncle were. And then what?" She shook her head. "I don't think he'd hurt her. Not really. But the spirits don't seem to want to clue Aang in that, gee, Zuko really doesn't want to die." Which was just what would happen if someone believed that Lee was, well, what he was. What a mess. "A prince." Huojin shook his head. "I chewed him out. Told him when he was whining." "He was happy." Toph gave him a wry grin. "He really was. He likes you." A lift of her hands and Stone rose to a platform she stepped onto from the roof. A push and it sank back down, letting her step onto Appa's back. "A prince." Squinting his eyes against the gale as they took off, Huojin waited for his brain to stop whirling. No wonder he didn't know how to talk to normal people. "As my brother's loyalty is beyond question, Fire Lord Ozai neglected to see that I appeared." Mushi's voice echoed in memory. Okay, that did it. If he ever caught up with Mushi again, he needed to glare at the man. He didn't lie. Exactly. Came right to the knife edge of it, but I don't think he ever lied. More fragments of other conversations floated up, about Agnic Highs and honor and just what the Fire Lord had done. Lee's the Fire Lord's son. Oh, Agni, no wonder that kid is so messed up. And if that hadn't been a lousy enough break from the spirits, now the Avatar's little bunch of heroes was about to set off a citywide search for Prince Zuko, when Lee was already underground, literally, because something was wrong. "Not if I can help it." Huojin frowned, considering that fiery impulse. Sure, well and good to think that. But would pitting himself against the Avatar, the so-called balance of the world, actually do any good? Yeah, it might. Granted, he'd only met the Airbender twice, but he knew a fair amount about people. Aang was the flightiest person he'd ever met, including one wild-haired older gentleman convinced he could train lizard birds to deliver the mail. On top of that, Aang seemed to automatically assume people were going to help them, no matter what it cost them. Which means he probably thinks this problem is solved, and he'll just flutter on to the next one. Huojin grinned darkly. Report Katara missing? Sure, he could do that. Start a massive manhunt just because a flutter-brained boy had a vision? I don't think so. He might not know this Prince Ponytail Sokka had sneered at, but he knew Lee, the awkward, patient, stubborn healer who'd done his best to stitch parts of the lower ring together. The same lower ring that hadn't seen one tattooed inch of the Avatar until he needed something. I want to follow Lee, not just because I want to, because, damn it, when you're out on the street and the chips are down, you need somebody you can trust at your back. He might have to trust Aang with the world. The world was a big place. There had to be a limit to how much any one bender could mess with it. But trust a boy Leem's age with something as fragile as a human life? I hope Sokka's dad can help you out, Aang. But he's not here, so I'm going to have to do what your father should have done. I have to say no. Oddly lighthearted, Huojin headed down the stairs. Young lady, how did you get here?
A lot of very unhelpful people, General Howe.
Glancing at the small troop of soldiers around the edges of the general's private strategy room, Katara fingered the invasion plans still up her sleeve. She kept her face serious, despite Momo's chirps on her shoulder. Given how the Council of Five had reacted to just a little laugh with the strategy pieces, she'd better get this right. Stuck up, gloomy, overdecorated, Chief Hakoda didn't need any fancy weapons and armor to fight, and he actually smiled.
Dad, I miss you so much. Why'd you have to go?
He'd left to protect their tribe by helping the Earth Kingdom fight the Fire Nation. She had to be just as strong. She had to do what was right, what Gran-Gran and Mom and the other women would do, faced with people who refused to see what was real and what was crazy, no matter how confused she'd felt last night. I have to do this. Jinhai's still young. Someone might choose to be kind. It was going to be horrible for him, knowing you'd lost your mother because she was insane, and your father because he was so lost to his tribe, not to do anything about it was awful. Hamaya asks for permission? What kind of crazy lie is that? Katara had soaked up every story her tribe had of waterbenders, everything Gran-Gran and the elders remembered, told and retold around winter fires. Waterbenders protected the tribe. They didn't need to ask. What chief would ever tell them no? She's insane, and she's dragging them with her. Katara hid a shiver. She'd heard plenty about that, though she'd never been so unlucky as to see it before. Usually everyone knew who was sliding away from reality and sat on them until a healer could treat them or do what had to be done. But those were lone madnesses. It was only in the winter, when one family might be snowbound alone for days, that bad things could happen. Horrible things, Katara thought grimly. Horrible things we have to do to our own people because there are no benders left to give the moon's blessing, to heal minds broken by winter or the midnight sun. She still remembered that silent summer day, years ago, when one not named didn't come back from gathering. She'd seen the glances and bowed heads of the men coming back from fishing, acknowledging they wouldn't need to handle the problem. And she'd finally understood why Mom and Gran-Gran had insisted she and Sokka would gather sea plums with them, far away from the other women. With them, and with two little children who should have been with their own mother. Only they didn't have a mother, and wouldn't ever again. She'd never forgive the Fire Nation for that. She didn't know how someone could drag other people crazy in the spring, surrounded by other people. But Mei Sheng obviously had. Threatening her with a knife? The Avatar's teacher? Helping a Dai Li? Helping the Fire Nation? Zuko deserves to go crazy. Spirits, he's already crazy. Just look at him, tying me up with those pirates and asking me to help get his honor back. Like Aang was just some kind of pelt I'd trade for Mom's necklace. And now this? Azula in the palace? Not a chance. The whole place would be on fire, and she was standing in it. She'd probably notice. So either Zuko was lying, and Iroh swore he wasn't, or he was seeing things, and Shirong was seeing them right along with him, which was exactly what happened when the Polar Knight pried open a family's nightmares. Zuko's crazy, but Iroh tried to help. Katara thought about that, and the way a man old enough to be her grandfather had knocked aside armored firebenders like snowmen. If Zuko's dragging him crazy, we can't have him getting any worse. All I know for sure is that they had a few earthbenders and a lot of blindfolds, Katara stated, looking again at the dozen or so soldiers standing at ease. And they're working for the enemy,
Prince Zuko is somewhere under Ba Sing Se. She winced. We should probably start at the tea shop, the Jasmine Dragon. That's where his uncle was. The exiled Fire Nation prince and General Iroh? Howe's brows shot up. Oma and Shu. I thought that was just a rumor after all.
Rumor? Katara asked, startled.
Why, that a team of Fire Nation spies had somehow made it into the upper ring, the general declared, brush already stroking swift across paper to craft orders for a suddenly nervous subordinate. You'd be amazed how much information a skilled saboteur can pick up in a tea shop. We should have known something was amiss. Skilled tea makers don't just appear out of the lower ring. None of that debris that washes in from the fairies ever has the necessary refinement. Coordinate with the Dai Li. Take as many squads as you think you can handle, and seize every employee, and all the customers. Well, you know which ones to leave out. If the Dragon of the West is so foolish as to be in plain view, take no chances. If he has any possibility of escape, kill him. He handed the inked order over. The officer bowed, and half the soldiers followed him out.
You're going to kill him? Katara said uneasily. She didn't like the old firebender. She wouldn't mind seeing him locked up in solid rock for, say, a week, so someone had the chance to set him straight about his jerk of a nephew, but he tried to save the moon once. He's not all bad. I'm a healer. Maybe I can save him.
He's lethal, General Howe said flatly. If the Fire Lord ever convinced him to take the field again, if he ever pulled out of that slump his son's death put him in, spirits, that was a fortunate fatality of our side. I would like to take General Iroh alive. He'd be a valuable source of information, but not worth half an army.
Half an... Katara stared at him. Are you serious? He's just this harmless old man.
That harmless old man held our city under siege for 600 days, General Howe said bluntly. I can still see his command tent sitting out there, inside the outer wall, taunting us. He snorted, obviously shutting away an infuriating memory. Infiltrated as Kyoshi warriors working with the Dai Li, indeed. He lowered his voice confidentially. Of course we investigated. A threat to the Earth King must be looked into no matter the source. But one of those so-called spies is laid up in her rooms outside the palace with a stomach flu. And the other two are discussing Kyoshi Island with His Majesty. Hardly the behavior of deadly saboteurs.
Unless they're really good ones, Katara said reluctantly. Crazy or sane, she wouldn't believe Zuko as far as she could throw him. But before Sokka had left for Chameleon Bay, he said that Professor's bit about strategy and Chien the Conqueror made sense. And if it weren't for their plans on the eclipse, it'd really make a difference. Are you sure Longfeng's locked up? That the Earth King is safe?
He's in a metal cell, the general said confidently. No bender can get out of that. He smirked. But I suppose it wouldn't hurt to go gloat at the man. Perhaps now he'll finally know his place. He waved at the door. Shall we?
No one here. Dao over his shoulder. Zuko prowled the empty upper ring house, looking for any trace of Toph. He didn't know exactly how Uncle had gotten the address from Katara, but what he'd said about Toph's supposed letter raised the hackles on both their necks. She might not act like it, but Toph Bei Fong was a lady, daughter of a rich and powerful merchant family. Uncle had well recalled the name from various dealings when their fast but hopelessly antique ship needed yet another repair. General Iroh had the authority to requisition parts and supplies, but reality was a little trickier. Between Zuko's own exile and the emergencies suffered by a ship combing the far corners of the world, sometimes it was just easier to deal with Earth Kingdom merchants.
They hadn't pulled Gao Ling as a potential site out of a hat. So he knew about upper-class merchants, and what Uncle had learned about that letter was just wrong. Katara said the letter was addressed to Toph, but Toph's blind. A respectable merchant lady always remembered the proprieties. The letter should have had salutations not meant for its recipient, but for its reader. Of such fine details were made clan intrigue, and the narrowed glance in the war room, and death. We could be wrong. I hope we're wrong. Even if that means I left Shurong with what I helped the spirits do to him, just for a wild turkin goose chase. Though he'd also left Shurong with Amaya, he had to be grateful for that, even if he really, really wanted to kick some spirit's tail for making him an unwitting accomplice. I still don't know what happened, Amaya had admitted earlier that morning, examining Shurong's chi in fine detail. I've healed wounds almost as deep before, and I've never had any other bender claimed by the moon. She'd frowned, thinking. The Haimajiao's injuries, you told him to fight? Not exactly, but... Amaya glanced at Shurong. And when I first touched Zuko's spirit with water to heal him, he accepted for his uncle's sake, for family. He reached for water, and I reached for fire. The agent shook his head, face set in the kind of numb shock Zuko was all too familiar with. Are you saying we did this to ourselves? No! Zuko exploded, grabbed Shurong's shoulder, forcing shocked eyes to meet his. You didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this. This isn't your fault. But your uncle did ask for a way to save your people, Amaya said quietly beside them. And as he is your family, who loves you, the moon could answer that plea. She looked at Shurong. What did you ask Agni for? Shurong glanced at Zuko and looked away. Something I shouldn't have. Zuko let go and took a careful step back. Because you knew I was Fire Nation, and we've been your enemies for a century. He nodded, knowing what tore the man. Spirits, he knew it too well. You knew it was treason. I suppose I did, Shurong said bleakly. But who can live without the sun? He shook his head. I've cursed your nation for years, but Agni himself? No, I didn't have any fondness for him, true. Yet, there you were, trying to put right what Long Feng had set wrong. And I couldn't help. I'm Dai Li. It should have been my responsibility. So I prayed. I prayed that you would get the help you needed for all our sakes. He laughed once, bitter. I've dealt with spirits all my life. I should have known better. Heartbreak. Zuko could hear it in Shurong's voice. The same depthless pain he'd felt realizing Azula didn't love him, couldn't love him, not the way brother and sister were supposed to care about each other. He didn't need Amaya's sober look to act. I'm not sorry. Shurong looked up, startled out of gloom. I'm sorry I hurt you, Zuko went on. I didn't want to get anyone caught between like I am. When you're not sure what to do or say or even be next. I didn't mean to do that to you. But I did it. I gave the spirits an opening. It's my responsibility. He paused and let out a breath. And I'm not sorry for saving your life. Shurong started to speak, hesitated, glanced at Amaya.
You've only had him for a month?
Some people are born to destroy, Amaya said simply. Others learn to build and heal. no matter what it costs them. She smiled wryly. I don't think either of you are traitors, but I was born to water, and you are my family now, so I'll let you two work this out. Shirong watched her turn the corner, out of earshot, and sighed. You're not a traitor, Zuko stated, before the man could dig himself any deeper into pain. I'm not here to take the city. I don't want to damage the Earth Kingdom. Uncle and I are fugitives. He smirked. If the Fire Lord wants us captured, wouldn't it be more treacherous to help him?
Are firebenders supposed to use logic?
Shirong asked archly. You'd be surprised, Zuko said dryly. Just because we want to jump into a fight doesn't mean we...
Oh.
Zuko let out a slow breath. It took days for things to settle down in my head, he said honestly. I'm still surprised a little, sometimes. Are you having trouble with your temper?
No, Shirong said quietly. Not temper, exactly. I suppose that's why I didn't realize something was wrong before.
He shivered a little.
I've felt... Are you always this sure? This spirit, I don't even know how to describe it.
Determination, Zuko nodded, relieved. This is what I want. This is what I won't do. Yes, he sighed. You have to be careful what you want. It's what drives you. Fuel for the fire. So, if you're smart, every day you stop and meditate. Clear the noise out. You have to know what you want and why you want it. Otherwise, you can run right off a cliff. He grimaced. Uncle can tell you about the time I ran a Fire Navy blockade to chase the Avatar. Shirong eyed him.
Sometimes I'm an idiot, Zuko almost said.
But Shirong's distress was too raw, too familiar. It'll get better, he promised. You're still you, just focused a little different.
I want to be angry with you, Shirong admitted. I want to be angry at something, but it's like cursing an earthquake. It happened. What I knew is over. And it's oddly fitting, in a way.
How many lives have I shattered, serving Long Feng?
At least I still have my own life and my own mind.
Zuko winced. You should be angry. I would have been, if I hadn't been in shock. If I hadn't realized. He swallowed and had to look away.
You can't be the heir. Shirong breathed. You did lie to Mai.
No, Zuko said wearily. Azula needs me dead. The Fire Sages aren't stupid. Terrified of her and father, but they'd have a window if Fire Lord Ozai were dead, and she knows it. She'd pretty much have to prove in front of a whole war meeting I was a waterbender before they'd stop trying to weasel out of it. It's so much easier just to kill me. He lowered his head. If I were crowned and the waterbending came out, and you know it would, you can't hide your element. It'd be worse than letting Azula take the throne. Everybody would flock to her, appalled by the tainted exile. Zuko drew a breath. It's better this way. I've lost what I thought I wanted. I can't save the Fire Nation. He looked Shirong straight in the eye. But I can save part of it. With Uncle's plan, we can make somewhere for people who don't fit.
Your plan,
Shirong stated, tone mild but gaze intense as high noon. Our plan, Zuko admitted, thought about what he'd said and who he'd said it to, and wanted to kick himself. It's not going to be another Fire Nation colony, not if I can help it.
Oh? Shirong lifted a brow. You intend to evacuate Fire Nation refugees?
And their families, Zuko said firmly. Professor Tingcha's students. He's already working on a list of people we can trust. And the Dai Li families. I was serious. Azula wants to take Ba Sing Se. She'll probably take it, but we don't have to make it easy. Xurong looked pensive.
I'd say you were a hopeless idealist to think earth and fire could coexist, if I didn't have blatant proof we can. And still, I've never wanted to be anything other than a loyal subject of Earth King Kuei.
So, what's the best thing a loyal subject can do?
Zuko said soberly.
Fight a losing battle here, or fall back and regroup, so that when Azula leaves you have a chance to take the city back.
Xurong frowned.
I need you, Zuko said simply. Who else is going to train Min if we get him back? He wants to be Dai Li. He should be Dai Li, doing what you were always meant to do. Protect your people from the Kamui malice. Who else is going to understand how torn up he is? Born to earth, a brother to fire, he's in the same mess you are, and he's hurt and confused and young.
Xurong regarded him narrowly, leaned back against stone, a ghost of a smile flitting across his face. You are like your uncle.
Zuko blinked.
When it comes to the safety of your people, you don't fight fair.
Zuko reddened. A great name must be noble and benevolent and honorable beyond reproach. He quoted old lessons. Because the great names lead and defend the clans in war. And war is none of those. War is death.
Xurong nodded slowly. So if you'd been command at the North Pole...
Send out the Avatar to provide cover from the air, and have the waterbenders hold each ship below the waterline, Zuko said simply. You can't fire catapults when your ship is sinking.
Xurong eyed him.
We were on a raft for 3 weeks, Zuko said. Cross. There's only so many times you can count the sea vultures.
Which was when Xurong had started laughing. I hope he's all right, Zuko thought now, circling into the front room he'd previously avoided. He said he was all right. There was scarring on the floor. Zuko froze, scanned the room at eye level, dropped into a crouch and scanned it again, looked down bare inches from the floor, and stepped with the same light, silent tread he'd used to elude alert guards. No tripwires. That you see. Don't get cocky.
He circled the gouged wood, just close enough to confirm the pattern of interlocking metal teeth. A trap box. Looking up, he could see where the pulley and counterweights had been attached near the ceiling. It took an effort of will not to sear the marked beams.
She's alive, Zuko made himself whisper. You've got to assume she's alive.
It was the most logical conclusion. You didn't trap a bender in a big iron box if you didn't want them alive. Not when there were so many easier ways to end a bender's threat permanently. In his mind's eye, Zuko could see half a dozen of them, all ending with Toph lying pale and still in crimson. She was so small... You have to believe she's alive.
Zuko swallowed dryly and forced himself to study scarred planks. Not fresh, probably a few days old. Which meant Toph had gotten her letter and walked straight into a trap. And he was going to see Long Feng burn for this. And Katara didn't even notice.
His fists clenched, sparks flickering to life before he snuffed them. Why am I not even surprised? Time. He was working against time. Need to find the owner or a neighbor, Zuko thought, slipping out and up onto the roof for a moment to think. Someone had to pay to rent this place, and someone's going to be mad as hell about that floor. He had to move fast. Spending any more time above ground than he had to was risky. The Tao gave him a silhouette that Azula shouldn't recognize, but if she got close enough, that wouldn't matter. Though at least the Dai Li seemed to be ignoring him. Either that, or he really had done a good job sneaking today.
Sure, and what are the odds of that? Oh, Agni, please, no. But it looked like the spirits were sticking their shimmery little fingers in their ears, because the Avatar's bison was on a direct heading for the palace. That idiotic, blinder-than-toff, insane... He couldn't afford to white out from rage. Could not breathe, focus, think of Toph. Which both helped and didn't. Toph considered that airbending idiot a friend. And maybe she understood temporary alliances, but a friend was a friend. Not my problem. I need to get my people out. He's the Avatar. He can handle Azula. Except it wouldn't just be Azula. It'd be Azula and the Dai Li, and those earthbenders were used to fighting spiritual power. It won't be enough. I've seen him in the Avatar state. Even the Dai Li won't be enough. If the world learned one of the royal family killed an Avatar... Uncle's voice, ringing through memory like a death knell. Zuko held his head in his hands and shivered. This is a bad idea. Worse than breaking into Pohai's stronghold. Worse than breaking into the North Pole. And you got damn lucky to just live through that one. Don't do this. It's not worth it. Aang was going to kill his sister. Simple logic. Azula would think she had overwhelming force. Might actually have it for once. And she was bound and determined to prove herself the worthy heir to the throne. To show she could succeed brilliantly where her brother had only failed. She would kill the Avatar. And if she didn't, the Avatar would kill her. You're a big brother. Zuko swallowed hard, closed his eyes and remembered the chill wind off an icy sea and the burning focus that had let him face a polar night with only a kayak, rope, and his wits. First, I need to find a messenger. Then, I'm sorry, Uncle. I tried. Longfeng frowned at him as Quan opened the metal-sheathed cell, glancing past him to the guards, studiously ignoring the whole affair. Isn't this a bit premature? Unless the Earth King has reconsidered his sentence based on new evidence? Not exactly. Quan said warily. Sir, I have reason to believe you and His Majesty may be in grave danger. Danger? Longfeng stepped out onto welcoming stone with unhurried grace. Is the Fire Nation princess not cooperating? More than cooperating, Quan said bluntly, heading down the corridor towards the surface. She's really taken charge. She's terrifying and inspirational all at the same time. It's hard to explain. He met that calculating green gaze, worried. Sir, I think some of the other agents are slipping. Slipping? Longfeng said archly, matching him stride for stride. I said it was hard to explain. Quan shook his head. I'd swear she's not spirit-touched. But there's something... I don't like it, sir. I just don't. He hesitated, picking his words. And I was able to confirm information I obtained from one of Shirong's former contacts. General Iroh has been declared traitor to the Fire Nation, and there's a bounty on his head. Prince Zuko has not been declared traitor, but there's a bounty on his head as well. Quan gave his superior a sober look. Not a reward for capture, sir. The Fire Lord wants them dealt with, and Princess Azula's already made one attempt. Longfeng almost hesitated. She attempted to assassinate her own uncle. His voice lowered as he opened stone above them to rise into the palace. Devious girl. I know Army Intelligence states that the Dragon of the West was shattered by his son's death. Quan said deliberately. But that she tried to deal with him, and he was apparently unable to turn the tables on her.
I have doubts about allowing this person to remain near our king.
Do you?
A precise voice purred from the shadows, gold eyes glinting above the princess's outfit of dyely green.
My, whatever would those be?
Katara's fine, the Earth King assured them. You have nothing to worry about. Sokka eyed him and the bear and wondered if they were living on the same continent. Between the Fire Nation outside and the Dai Li inside, how could anybody in this city be fine?
But in my vision, I was so sure she was in trouble.
Aang was trying not to fidget. Sokka could see that, just as clearly as he could see Aang wanted to snap open his air staff and fly off somewhere.
Well, she met with the Council of Generals to plan the invasion, the Earth King said thoughtfully. Then she was gone most of yesterday. I think off with your friends, the Kyoshi warriors. But one of my staff just brought me a message from General Howe. He said some of his troops needed to perform a flanking maneuver and conquer a tea shop, and he and Katara were going to question Long Feng again. The young king frowned, nudging up his glasses. I wonder if the general needs a day off. Why would you need troops to storm a tea shop?
Toph winced. Sokka cleared his throat.
Some of your Earth Rumble buddies in town?
I don't think so, Toph said innocently. I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, good. Then I guess... Why do you keep doing that?
Toph grinned at him. The Earth King chuckled behind his head. She couldn't know either way, Sokka. The Jasmine Dragon only opened a few days ago, or so the message said. And Toph winced again. Though Sokka was pretty sure anybody who didn't know her wouldn't have noticed a thing. It was the way she tried to look just a little more innocent, helpless little blind girl. Okay, now I know she's up to something. Then again, last time what she'd been up to had been Appa, so... I'll go check on Katara, Aang said in a rush, just to make sure. A gust of wind and he was out the massive doors. Okay, spill, Sokka said seriously once the dust settled. I know you felt like you had to get Appa back yourself, and I guess I can't blame Lee for wanting to stay out of Katara's icicle range, but I want to help this time. You know Lee? The Earth King looked interested. So did Bosco, in a slightly nervous and trying to seem innocent way.
No, I suppose there are thousands of Lees.
Waterbender, Breaks Out, Sky Bison, Fire Nation, Sokka said wryly. Probably not many of those. Fire Nation? The king stood, alarmed. That's impossible. Amaya would never help our enemies. And if he were dangerous, Bosco's animal instinct would have sensed it.
Really? Wow, that's cool!
A Kyoshi warrior somersaulted across the room, landing bare inches away from Sokka, smiling wide at Toph.
Didn't expect you back so soon, cutie.
I'm kind of involved with... The walls opened and spilled Dai Li, and Sokka swallowed, even as Toph raised her fists and got behind him. Suki? It was hard to tell under the war paint, but he thought she looked surprised.
Who?
Oh, this is not good. Getting the bad guys to turn on each other seems so easy when Sokka does it. Katara retreated back down the corridor, dodging, water a shimmering arc in front of her. But that's Azula. You've got to know she's after the city for the Fire Nation. A wave of deadly azure blazed towards her head. Only a hasty whip of water deflected it enough for her to duck. How can she fight when there's no room in here? Momo squeaked, soaring off to squirm behind a wind-ruffled tapestry. Sweating, the waterbender flung a razor-sharp ring of liquid, clipping a strand of black hair. She'd always fought Zuko in the open, where she had plenty of room for sweeping moves that shaped water into weapons, where she could keep the scary armored firebender at a distance. The most closed-in she'd ever really had to fight Zuko had been in the Spirit Oasis, and there, Azula didn't care how close the walls were. The princess could punch and kick from every angle, shooting flame that sliced down the corridor with blistering heat. She's going to boil away everything I've got. There's got to be more water around here somewhere. Maybe a well outside? A yell, a rumble of stone. General Hao was down, trapped in the Dai Li agent's iron chains, and Long Feng's sink of stone. And with him immobilized, they were looking at her. 3-on-1 wasn't just not fair, it was terrifying. Bits of stone gloves zipped past her, lethal as arrows. Azula's blasts kept coming. The curtains she thought were just another tapestry blasted open in a gust of wind, and Aang was there. Katara, you're okay. Long Feng's not in his... Whoa! Smirking, Azula pounced.